In the first reading today, we hear the beginning of St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. And it's interesting the way that he starts the letter. After the greeting, he begins with the fact of their faith and their suffering. They must have been suffering pretty terrible if that's how he started the letter. And yet, how important it is to be able to recognize what it is that he's talking about. He says that this is evidence of the just judgment of God so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. It puts all of our suffering then into a context. It is about preparing us and making us worthy of eternal life. Why do we suffer? Because God wants us to be purified. Certainly, we can offer our sufferings for the good of others, and that makes it even more valuable. But even just within our own selves, the suffering purifies us, it strengthens us, and it also tempers us. It's not fun, but yet it is extremely valuable. If you want to be able to grow in virtue, God is going to provide means for it to happen. So if you want to grow in patience, it's only going to happen by being put in situations where you have to practice it. If you want to grow in meekness, your anger is going to be tempted. If you want to grow in charity, it means you're going to have to die to self. Whatever it means, humility. Oh my heavens, you want to suffer? Try to grow in humility, because you have to be humiliated. And there are 1,001 ways that that can happen. And we all know what happens when it does. We complain and we whine and we scream and oh my goodness, you would think the world was coming to an end. And what we have just done as we go through all those gyrations is to demonstrate how little virtue we actually have. Now we wouldn't have known that if it weren't for the suffering that came along. Because if everything was pretty wonderful, it's a nice day outside, you just had a full night of sleep, everyone is happy, everyone's getting along. Oh, you are the nicest person in the world. You are so patient, you are so kind, you are so wonderful, you are so good. Until the first person crosses your path. And then you find out that I'm not so patient or kind or good. That's why the Lord allows these things. Because in order to get to heaven, remember, we have to be made perfect. Scripture is very clear, nothing impure or imperfect can enter into heaven. Which is why there is purgatory. Most of us, when we die, are not going to be made perfect spiritually. Don't raise your hand, but let me just take a poll. How many of you here think if you were to die right now that you have achieved such perfection that you would go straight to heaven? God is going to look at you and say, wow, what a saint. You have achieved holiness completely. You have become perfected. That means every single virtue you have now perfected in yourself. Now, I don't need to ask for a show of hands because I know how many there would be. Zero. Which means that we have to be perfected. Remember, in purgatory, there is no merit. There is no growth in holiness. All that's happening in purgatory is you're getting stripped of the stuff that is not perfect. But you don't grow in holiness and you don't love God more. In this life, as we struggle and suffer, we can grow in merit. If we can accept it, if we can offer it, if we can unite it with the Lord, we grow in merit. We love more. And we have less time that we're going to have to deal with in purgatory. So it is a win-win situation. If we will just learn to accept, which we don't do very well. Our society has done absolutely everything possible to remove suffering. God has an infinite sense of humor and an infinite imagination. So every time that we try to figure something out and take it away, he just puts something else in. We've been able, thankfully, to overcome a number of diseases that people throughout history have suffered with terribly. And now we have a whole bunch of new ones that no one's ever heard of before, and they don't know how to fix them. So, praise the Lord. We have all this stuff that's supposed to make our lives so easy. Remember all those things? Remember, for those old enough to remember, this was going to give you so much more leisure time. This was going to make your life so much more easy and so much more pleasant. So how much leisure time do we have? How much more pleasant is our life? Yeah, we could look at it and say, isn't it nice? We don't have to go out and chop wood anymore so we can heat the house. We have central air conditioning these days. We have indoor plumbing. We have all these things that should save us huge amounts of time and make our lives so much easier. And on one hand, they do. So what do? We filled it all up with other stuff. And then we brought all kinds of suffering upon ourselves for doing it. Instead of taking a horse that goes 2 miles an hour, we now hop in our cars and go 70 miles an hour. So we can get around pretty quickly and pretty easily. Our lives are so much easier, aren't they? Yeah, right. So on one hand, yes, they are. And on another hand, all we've done is create a whole bunch more problems for ourselves. Because there is no one who is going to be able to get out of this without the suffering. It doesn't matter if somebody is a billionaire. They're going to have suffering. You can't avoid it. Yeah, maybe there are certain things that a billionaire doesn't suffer with that somebody who's poor maybe does. But they'll have their own kind of suffering then. No one is going to get away with it. So the key is not about avoiding the suffering. The key is trying to accept it and trying to cooperate with what God is doing in our souls through the suffering. That's really hard. But if we can actually see what he's doing, then it makes it a lot easier to cooperate. So pray for that grace. Rather than trying to reject it, rather than trying to avoid it and finding ways around it, again, that doesn't mean if you have health problems, don't go to the doctor. Obviously, if there's a problem, yeah. But if there are sufferings that have come your way, what's God trying to do? What virtues is he working on? All you have to do is look at your reactions. You can figure it out pretty easily. This happened, and then here's what I did. Okay, I didn't handle that too well. That's what he wants to work on. That's why he's giving it to you, to show you the areas where you need to grow. So pray for that grace to accept. Pray for the grace to cooperate. He's trying to make us saints. And remember, as St. Paul said, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Well, sin is abounding, which means that there is such an overabundance of grace right now for us if we are willing to accept it, if we are willing to cooperate with him. It's sin that brings all these problems to us. It's grace that's going to help us to overcome them. So that's what we have to pray for. So again, you see right at the beginning of this letter, St. Paul talks about our faith, which obviously, if we're going to cooperate, we have to have the faith. And he talks about the suffering. That's part and parcel of Christian life. Every human life is going to have some of it, but the difference is the way that we handle it. A Christian makes something good out of suffering. If you're not Christian, What difference does it make? What's the difference between the suffering of a human being and the suffering of an animal? If you're a Christian, you recognize the difference, because you could make something good out of it. Those who don't cooperate don't make anything good from it. God wants only the best. He wouldn't give this to you, and he wouldn't allow it in your life if it wasn't somehow for the best. So pray about that. Ask him what he's trying to do, not in the frustrated, "What are you trying to do with me?" No, ask him honestly, "What is it that you're trying to do? What do you want me to see? How do I cooperate? What do I do better? How can I handle this?" That's what he's looking for, is our disposition to be able to change so that we can cooperate and we can grow in virtue. If we can do that, then we can become the saints he wants us to be. We grow in merit. We grow in the ability to love. We reduce our time in purgatory. Like I said earlier, it's a win-win situation. So try not to run from it. Try not to fight it. Try to accept it, to embrace it, and to be able to cooperate so that you can grow in holiness.